The disciple saw and he believed. You know, this day is unlike any other day. This day is Resurrection Day. This is the day we remember that Jesus, who was crucified and died for us, has now risen from the dead. He has conquered sin and death for us. He has fought the battle against the forces of darkness and won the victory for us. And he calls us to join him in the battle. It's a battle that goes on every single day in the hearts of all those who want to believe in Jesus, who want to follow him. Last night we celebrated the Easter Vigil, and all throughout the whole world there were Catholics who came into the church, became Catholic. Here at St. Mary's we had about 31. I read in the United States there was about 37,000 that came into the church. Last night we heard from the prophet Ezekiel when we were doing our Easter Vigil. This is what God said through Ezekiel. He said, "I will give you a new heart and place a new spirit in you, taking from your stony hearts and giving you natural hearts. I will put my spirit in you and make you live by my commandments, careful to observe my decrees. You shall be my people and I will be your God." So we believe that Jesus was the fulfillment of that, and that gift of the new spirit, a new heart, was first given to us at our baptism. But it's not a once and done thing. It's something that has to be renewed every single day, that we have to struggle with and strive to open our hearts to that grace that was first given to us when we were baptized and then renewed in us in a special way when we were confirmed. But every time we celebrate a sacrament, whether it's confession or this sacrament of the Eucharist, we renew that gift given to us when we were baptized. We're going to renew our baptismal promises at the right after the homily today. I encourage you to do that with all your heart. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says this most beautiful passage. It's one of the most famous and beloved passages in all of Scripture. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The Father gives his Son for us, for our sins, for our hardness of hearts. He gave the Son for us, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life." To believe doesn't just mean that we kind of have head knowledge about Jesus and about God. To believe means to surrender our lives into the hands of God, into declare Jesus as our Lord. That means that he is the Lord of our life, of every aspect of our life, of our mind, our heart, our soul, our joys, our pleasures, and our struggles and our sorrows and our pains. The Lord of every part of our life. So these three great days of what we call the Easter Triduum, the three great days of Easter, we celebrate that love of Jesus that he has for us, that he would give himself up for us, for our sins. The love that Jesus has for every single person. We celebrate God's unconditional love in Jesus' self-sacrificing, self-giving love. And one of the worst things in life, I believe, is to love someone unconditionally. To love someone deeply and to have them reject that love or refuse it. Have you ever experienced that in your life? I think most of us have. I know I certainly have. And it's immensely painful. And it's so sad. You know, just after that beautiful passage that I shared with you from the Gospel of John, this is what St. John, Jesus says. Jesus says, and this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light. How sad. But then a few verses later he says, but whoever loves the truth comes to the light. So we come to the light today. We come to this Easter candle that shines the light of Christ upon us. We come seeking God's light. And there is a battle between light and darkness in our world today. This past year, the church has been rocked with so many scandals. I was thinking about that as we were reflecting on Good Friday, the betrayal of Jesus by Judas, by one of the 12, one of his closest associates or friends or part of his company, part of his inner circle, part of his chosen ones. And Judas betrays him. I think what Jesus is revealing to us in that is that all throughout the life of the church, there's going to be those who will betray the church, who will betray God. And we've had so many scandals in this past year from priests and bishops and even cardinals who have betrayed Jesus and betrayed the church. But you know, every time we commit a serious sin, every time we turn our back on God, we betray Jesus and we betray the church. There is a battle between light and darkness in our world. And guess what? That battle is going on within every single human heart. The forces of darkness do not want us gathering together every single Sunday as a people of faith. They don't want us gathering together to listen to the Word of God, to pray together, to support each other, to love each other. No, they want to tear us apart. They want to cause division, the forces of darkness. And there are forces of darkness within us, in our midst, and outside of us. I don't know if you heard the report. There was in Sri Lanka on Easter, hundreds of people were killed. Three churches were bombed. It's so sad to see what's going on in our world. This week we were horrified to see Notre Dame burning. The world was mesmerized in sadness and loss. And we thought the church was destroyed. And I don't know if you saw the pictures, but They had this very striking image of taken through the front doors of Notre Dame. And you, through the rubble and through the smoke, you could see the cross of Christ was still standing. And the image, the statue of our Blessed Mother cradling Jesus in her arms after being taken down from the cross, the Pietà, was still standing, still intact. Now, what was God trying to teach us by allowing Notre Dame to burn on Monday of Holy Week? God doesn't will evil to happen, okay? God does not desire it, and He doesn't will it. He permits it. But why did God permit that to happen? Well, I think the church is on fire. The church is being destroyed by forces within and by forces without. But what Jesus was teaching us is that the cross remains standing. You know, when they went in, they discovered that despite the destruction of the roof, the church was basically still intact. The church was still standing. And the world is going to come at us. The world of darkness is going to come at us, come at the church. And there are going to be forces of darkness within that try to destroy us. But Christ has already won the victory. The battle for us is to really open our hearts to that victory, to that love that God wants to work in us and through us. I want to share with you a very powerful story that I just heard this Holy Week. It's a story about a young woman named Jenica Thornby. Every school day for almost 2 years, she would spend lunch hour in the library at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado. Every day except April 20th, 1999. She says, I was sitting in my art class when all of a sudden I had this urge to leave school. I remember thinking, there's no way I am going to be talked into staying today. So she found her friend that she always studied with and talked her into leaving with her. As they drove away in a car that her father bought for her just a week earlier, behind them they saw hundreds of other students running out of the school. They thought it was just a fire drill and they just kept driving. Back in the school, two students had entered with guns, where they would kill 12 students and a teacher and wound over 20 other people before taking their own lives. In the days that followed, Thornby would learn that many of the casualties took place in the library, where on any other day she would have been sitting. I remember thinking, I always went to the library, and the only reason I wasn't there was because I had this overwhelming urge to leave. That was really hard to wrap my mind around, and so I wondered, where did that urge come from? What gave me that urge, and why wasn't I there? Well, 2 decades later, so this is the 20th anniversary of that Columbine massacre. Thornby is now Sister Mary Jana, a religious sister of the Disciples of the Lord Jesus. And she just recently shared her story, how God led her out of her high school that day and through a series of events led her to a deep relationship with Jesus. See, she'd grown up in a loving family, but her family never went to church. They didn't practice any kind of faith. So after the school shootings, she struggled to come to grips with what happened. And she said she had emotional scars from bullying in her teenage years and other kinds of insecurities. And she started just desperately trying to find a way to fit in. And so she started drinking and going to parties. She was looking to get into a relationship, any kind of relationship. She said, then I figured I'd be happy. Near the end of her junior year, one of her classmates, who seemed to have everything going for him, committed suicide. In her senior year, she really hit rock bottom. She said, if he was in so much pain and suffering and he took his life when he seemed to have it all together, what was I going to do with all my suffering and pain? She said, I thought probably I'll take my own life for my 18th birthday. It was that year that a friend of hers invited her to come to her Catholic youth group at St. Francis Cabrini Catholic Church. And she met a youth minister there named Kate. She said, I saw something different in Kate. I saw a light in her. I saw joy in her. She was full of life. I knew she had something that was missing in mine. She said this youth group introduced her to a God that loved her and had a plan for her. She said, at that time I was feeling like junk to be thrown away. And Kate would tell me that I was made in God's image and His likeness. I was made out of love. And if God created me, how could I call myself junk? I realized that God did have a plan. She said, I love the words of St. Augustine. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord. And I realized not only did God lead me out of Columbine, but He was leading me to Himself. So when she was a freshman at Franciscan University of Steubenville, she went through RCIA. And she was received into the church at the Easter Vigil 2002. After college, she spent a year with NET Ministry. You know, we bring NET to St. Mary's every year to do our confirmation retreat for our 8th graders. So who knows, she may have been at St. Mary's at one point. In 2010, she decided to join religious life as a member of the Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and took the name Sister Mary Jana, and just last year made her final vows. She said, even when I didn't know God that day in Columbine, He led me out of the school and He protected me. He loved me so much that He drew near to me and has shown me this path of life. Last thing I'll share with you is this, that she said, even in the midst of tragedy, God can bring good. God can bring life out of death. The worst tragedy of all history was when Jesus was put to death on the cross, and it led to our salvation. And even in the midst of the tragedy of Columbine, God would bring good. So today on this Easter Sunday, that's really what we celebrate. How God brings goodness out of the darkness of our world. How we're engaged in this battle between light and dark. Last thing I want to encourage you to do is to think about those who have shown you, revealed to you God's unconditional love. Think about those in your life. Maybe they're still with you, still alive, but maybe they've died. Today, we really give thanks for those people in our lives that have made us realize the truth of the resurrection, that Jesus is alive. Jesus wants to live in every single one of us. But we've got to open our hearts to that and surrender our lives into His hand and declare Him as our Lord and Savior. That's what we celebrate today. So let us do that with great joy this day, trusting that God is going to bring great good and great light out of the darkness of our world.